Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galati along with Landon Tangwall. Landon, how are we doing this week?
Doing good, Jim. Starting to officially feel like summer here in the state of Pennsylvania, so the energy's flowing. I'm feeling happy. That sun starts to really hit you. You start to feel that happiness that, you know, when you're in the winter and the sun goes away for 2 months, you get a little bit of seasonal depression, man, and now it's all happy. You're outside. You're by the pool having a drink. It feels good.
The pool, a drink, that's living large. And Landon, do we have plans to hit the links this week?
Oh, always. I sometimes come up with the tee times on the fly, but because it depends, because the guys, they might have a workout or two, but we'll get out there at least three or four times, best believe, Jim. So you can catch me at Mountain View a couple times this coming week.
Well, I'm hoping to get out here too this week with some decent weather, finally put some of that rain behind us. All right, Landon, you know, speaking of what your plans are as the weather gets nicer, I know I get some questions from a lot of people about what you're doing, what you're up to, and it's official now, my friend. You've got your own podcast going. Tell me about it.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So I created my own podcast along with, you know, really, I don't only just do a podcast. I really call it a media company because I'm not just doing podcasts. I'm doing, we have this show weekly, and then I bring someone in my studio once a week, whether it's a player, whether it's a letterman, someone that is just Penn State, for example, just brought Steve Jones on, the voice of Penn State. So really excited for that one that's going to be dropping here this coming week. And then got some cool guests in the future as well. But then I'm also doing videos where I took Anthony Donka, our starting right tackle, to Chick-fil-A for a calorie challenge to see how much he could eat. That's up on my YouTube channel. I've been doing a lot of film breakdowns, which I'm going to get into a lot more, especially this summer, of kind of assessing the team this past season. And, you know, I'm having a really good time. It's fun. It's something I enjoy. I'm creating a lot of content with the guys, which I think is fun because, you know, there's a lot of people within the media that these guys don't, you know, our team, my former teammates don't trust or don't like, really. But it's kind of nice to have someone like, I mean, it's the truth. But it's nice to have someone like me in the media because they want to do stuff with me. So I kind of get to provide the fans something they wouldn't normally get to see. So, you know, I was talking to some guys. NCAA 25, the football game, is coming out. Hasn't been out since 2013. So I'm already setting up games where I'm going to bring guys into the studios and we're going to play. We're going to play NCAA 25 against each other. So we're going to showcase some of the talent. We're doing a ton of fun stuff. I got some fun videos with some of the specialists coming out in the near future, but really just doing a ton of stuff that no one else is able to do. I guess that's kind of my sell, man. It's something that I really enjoy doing, and also kind of helping plan some events for our guys. And then I'll film them. I did something at Campus Stakes, which is downtown on Pugh Street, where we brought a couple of guys on the team in the night before the spring game. And we put together a nice meet and greet with the signing. We filmed it. We put it out there. It was a really good event. We fundraised some money for the football team. But all that stuff I'm really having a good time with, and being able to showcase our guys' personality is something that I've enjoyed the most.
I was just going to say that I think is probably my favorite part, that is we actually get to learn a little bit more about the players personally with what you're doing. You get a little bit of the personality, which I don't know if you guys are trained this way, but the typical interviews, you just kind of get the rehearsed answers to the questions.
Oh, Jim, I can promise you, because I went through it, that media training, they bring you into a dark room and they quiz you. They riddle off these questions. And that's, I actually remember mine. It was, I guess I could share this now. When I was doing my media training after freshman year, I did really well. But then towards the end, it was the guy that was doing it, he hit me with a question, and it was like, okay, you know, why didn't you play at all really freshman year? You only played towards the end. Do you feel like you should have played in the beginning? Was there a reason for that? And I think I just said no comment or something. And they're like, yeah, no, you can't do that. So that was the only thing I messed up on. They asked me, they were trying to throw questions to really get you and like specific questions. So they will, yes, they do a good job here at Penn State to make sure that you are going to say the correct things, because that's kind of my whole point of this is, and that's why my business is called Behind the Wall, because I'm taking you behind the wall. My last name's also Tang Wall, so that's kind of the play on words. But this media, especially around Penn State, like there is no, in my opinion, I mean, there's real media, but it's a bunch of people trying to, for the most part, you know, write articles and get people on things, try to find people, get them in trouble. Like that's the kind of thing. And people don't want to open up to that type of media. They're not going to sit down. Like, no offense, I think Audrey Snyder does a great deal of work, but no one on the team wants to sit down with Audrey Snyder and open up with her, because, you know, she always wants to try to kind of get something out of the people, which is great. Like I said, she does a great job, a great deal of work, but that's kind of where I come in, and being these guys, being a letterman, being some of these guys' former teammate, they're able to open up with me kind of on a different level. So I've had a couple guys on. I've had Nick Dawkins and Riley Thompson on so far. I did a really cool, and then this is something that I started recently. I have my weekly podcast, but sometimes I'll switch it up from just a normal podcast to a NIL Conversations podcast. And I will bring on someone, whether it's a beat writer in Penn State, whether it's a national recruiting level, like an On3 guy, a 24/7 sports guy, where we can even talk some of the high school NIL stuff that's going on. But this 2 weeks ago, I brought on Nate Bauer, who's been a beat writer for Penn State for 20 years, and we talked NIL for about 40 minutes. It was truthful. We got down to the nitty gritty. We were talking Happy Valley United. We were talking Penn State NIL struggles, where Ohio State is in Michigan compared to us. How did we get here in NIL? All that type of stuff. So I really recommend go check that out. I haven't said it yet, but I'm available on all platforms, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube is where the main videos go. Just full name, Landon Tangwall. That you'll search up my full name. You will find me on there. You will find all these videos. And got some really cool stuff cooking up too, especially this summer when the guys have a little bit more free time. Obviously, it's harder during spring ball or during the season. But the summer, the guys have a ton of free time. I'm up at State College all summer. So I'm going to be putting together some really cool videos for the fans to start to truly feel like they can really get to know these guys and see their personalities, learn about their backgrounds, where these guys came from and kind of what they stand for, all that good stuff. So like I said, it's something that I'm really excited about, not only for me, but to help really further the brand of Penn State. I think this is something that, in my opinion, we've lacked a little bit, is putting our guys out there, allow them to talk to the media, allow them to go out there and meet as many fans and donors and all that stuff as possible. Well, I feel like I'm kind of helping push that along a little bit, Jim.
So we're not just going to get, well, we're working hard every day, get better. I'm willing to do anything to help the team win. That's what we're here for. So we'll get a little bit more than that out of the players.
Exactly. I you know, especially when I bring a current player on too, I'll keep maybe half of the questions, maybe even less than half, to actual football questions. Like I said, my real goal in this is to bridge the gap between the fan and the player and say, hey, you know, this guy is a normal dude just like me. Oh, he likes to do X, Y, Z. I like to do that too. That's all, you know, he likes to golf, whatever. He likes that Netflix show. I like it too. I mean, I think, like, I've spoken about this before, but I do think there are times where, and I'm guilty of it too. We look at these NFL stars or even college football stars and we think they're gods and they live these crazy lives. And it's like, no, man, they live a normal life just like us. And so I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to showcase. And these dudes have some really funny, cool, unique personalities that I want to get on. So,
well, I think I could be, I could confirm that just in my conversations now with you and having you on our show. I think our listeners have learned so much more about you. And through you, I've met some of your friends on the team, a lot of guys with a lot of personality, a lot of fun. But you're also going to have a website, correct?
Yes, sir. Yep. TheWallWithLandon.com. That is where I'm going to be putting out. You'll be able to find all my content on there. And then we're going to be putting out a weekly newsletter. So you can sign up for the newsletter. It'll get you all my info from that past week. So I'll put out, you know, my podcast with Jim, mine with the player. I might do a specialty video with the player, whether I'm taking them to do an eating challenge or we're doing, you know, kind of a sports video with them, whatever it may be. Like, all that type of stuff will be on there. Any little clips that I put out on Twitter, you can find all that in the newsletter. And we're also working on some other cool stuff to incorporate in the newsletter, especially once we get into the season, that I'm really excited about. but kind of just recaps you on everything I had going on that past week. In case you were a little busy, you could sit down, look at the newsletter, kind of just look over everything that I went over and talked about with my guest that week. So that is something I'm really excited about. It kind of allows the fans some easy access. So go to thewallwithlandon.com to check that out.
And also, Landon, what I'm particularly interested in, as you mentioned, we do this show. It's on the radio, podcast version under the Keystone Sports Network. But you and I are going to start doing a second show together, which is going to be a little bit different than this one. You want to share that with our listeners?
I do. Yeah. So me and Jim were actually in sheets about a couple, three days ago. And we were deciding whose name gets to come first in the show. So neither Jim says, "Do you have a coin?" So I say, "No, I don't. You know, I don't have any coins. Who carries any type of change on them anymore?" So Jim pulls out a dollar bill and looks at the last number of the serial number and says, "Is it odd or is it even?" And I say, "It's odd, Jim." And he said, "You're right." So my name gets to go first in the show that we are now making, where it is going to be a little more. Not super Penn State football centric. Obviously, we will still mainly focus on Penn State football here and a little NIL. But this is where we can get into that other stuff, NFL, other things going on in the college football world. And, it, you know, me and Jim are really excited about this because we will text and call each other so often. "Hey, did you see this over in Colorado?" Or "How about this out at USC?" You know, whatever it is. And we get, you know, in the NFL, all this stuff going on. And it's like, hey, we don't really have a platform to talk about it because it doesn't really fit into our show that we do on these days. So we're launching a new show where we're kind of branching out a little bit. I think it's going to be fun. And I think we need to get the fans a lot involved a lot, too. I think we're going to be asking for some Q&As and questions even outside of Penn State football. So I'm really excited about that one, Jim.
We'll have to set up a question of the week. And, yes, true story with the dollar bill. And I am giving up top billing. It's going to be Landon and Jim versus the world. We're going to take on the world, all the different things that are going on. Because Landon, as you said, you and I, we talk all the time. We communicate and we talk about a lot more than Penn State football. So we're going to take on everything in the world. We're going to take on one of our favorite topics, food. You know, we have discussions about that all the time. So a lot to look forward to. We're going to get back, though, to Penn State football when we come back for quarter number two.
We've had such a great response to our F45 training in state college promotion over the last couple weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Landon Tengwall. Actually, Landon, I should probably do that intro the other way.
Switch it. Hey, Jim, I won the bet, man. I guessed the serial number. You gotta put me first.
This is Landon and Jim, okay? You happy now? I'll have to remember to keep doing that. Landon, I want to get into this discussed settlement that the NCAA is going through, legal settlement. But before we do, we were talking about all the different things you're involved in. We really didn't get to what's coming up on Behind the Wall. You've got a couple guests scheduled already. Who do you have coming on in the near future?
Yeah, in the near future, like I mentioned, I got a Steve Jones podcast coming out shortly, which I am really excited about. That was a really good one. Following week, we have Bradley Spider Caldwell coming in, who was the equipment manager from 1981 or 82 to 2010. So he knows everything. He knows where all the bones are buried in State College. I mean, it's going to be a good one. He is one of the most beloved people in all of Penn State. If you ask anybody who's been around the team or the facility within those years, they absolutely love Spider. So I'm really excited to bring him on and kind of give a little bit of a kind of showcase. What is it like to be an equipment manager? What does that look like? What are the days like? What do you have to do for the players? So kind of give the fans the behind the scene look of some operations within college football. And then the week after that, look forward to this one. Drew Aller and me are going golfing for 9 holes. Going to be interviewing him a little bit while we're out there, but we're going to be having fun. It's going to be a really cool video. I think we're going to put a lot of time and production into that one. As you know, Drew Aller, that's always a big name. So please come over to my channel. Check that stuff out. We got some really cool people coming on in the near future, and even other cool videos, film breakdowns, food reviews around State College. You name it, I'll do it. I'm having a good time. Check me out, Landon Tangwall on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. You can check me out anywhere. We're posting content on all platforms. Really excited about it.
Okay, just one last note on the food things. You did the food challenge at Campus Steak with our buddy Joe over there. How did that end up, Landon?
It was a failure, Jim. It's like it's a 2-foot-long cheesesteak where they packed some meat on, and then I was told it is 7 orders of the fries, and it's not a small order, and they put it on this big tray. And funny enough, I'm hanging out with Stefan Wisniewski, which if anybody knows, All-American here at Penn State, won a Super Bowl with Mahomes and the Chiefs with the Eagles back in 2017, I think it was. I'm sure you remember, Jim. And I'm talking to him. I said, hey, I'm going over to do the cheesesteak challenge today at Campus Steaks. He said, can I come? I said, yeah, I'm filming it. You want to be in the video? So actually, that's another, I didn't even mention that. That's a video we kind of have in the vault that I'm going to be putting out probably in the next couple weeks when news is really slow. But me and Stefan Wisniewski take on a cheesesteak challenge, basically head to head. So no, I won't give too many spoiler alerts, but it was a rough day for me. And I'm just going to be honest. I ended up in the alleyway after. I felt a lot better after I got done getting all that up out. I'm just going to tell you, I kind of failed. But tune in to see if Stefan Wisniewski finish the challenge. And you get $1,000 if you beat the challenge. It is not easy. But that's also something I'll have up on my channel. So like I said, check me out. Full name, just Landon Tangwall on all platforms. We have a good time over there. We're going to be connecting you with all the athletes, former athletes, coaches, you name it.
You may have given us just a little more than we bargained for with that preview. All right. I have no idea how to segue to the next topic, Landon.
Yeah, that's a tough segue.
Yeah, just period, end of sentence, end of paragraph, end of chapter. Let's move on. It's in a much more serious note, although I guess that was pretty serious for you. The NCAA is going through a lawsuit. I know some folks are probably just tired of hearing about these NIL transfer portal lawsuits and everything going on, but it's so important because this is what is going to shape the game, Landon, for the next several years and beyond. And essentially with this, the lawsuit is players who were involved in college sports prior to the NIL ruling that allowed players to make money off their name, image, and likeness are suing the NCAA and the conferences. And what they're trying to do, the NCAA, which is on the biggest losing streak ever with the court system, is landed. They're trying to get a settlement done before it actually goes to court, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And I know, like you said, everybody's starting to get tired of hearing the NCAA and court and all this stuff. So it gets to be a lot with all the fine details. But like you said, Jim, this is really impactful, and this is going to shape the future of college football. So kind of getting into some of the nitty gritty details that they are talking about in this proposal right now. First, people that already played college football, they essentially want back pay. They want that, and it's looking like it's a number in the billions. They're talking, you know, $2-3 billion in basically compensation for these guys that have, you know, settlements that have already played college football and are retired. So, I mean, that is a huge chunk of money. So that's kind of the first thing we're saying, hey, these guys are owed something. And we've heard that from a lot of people that are no longer in college football. They're saying, hey, Travis, you know, all these guys, Travis Hunter, are making these ridiculous amounts of money. I should have been able to make a ton of money. So I think that's kind of where that comes in. I believe the number is $2.7 billion in damages over the next 10 years is kind of the reports right now. And then on the flip side of kind of looking towards the future, we know that revenue sharing is going to come about. And there that happens in the NFL where the TV rights deal. So, you know, the NFL signs a TV rights deal with, let's say, CBS. And basically, you know, around 50% of that goes to the NFL, around 50% goes to the teams. So right now, we do not have that in college football. I'm not sure on the exact number, but it's nowhere near 50%. I can promise you that. And also the players are getting none of it. So it's not even close to 50%. Now what is being proposed is they are going to put a cap on that number of basically how many millions are able to be shared per school from media rights deals. And they're talking that number right around 20 million per school. So through, you know, Penn State being on Fox, they're going to see around $20 million to get for their NIL and basically distribute that, you know, however they see fit. But I think one thing that I might kind of my takeaway from this, Jim, is when these schools are getting $20 million to basically use as NIL, well, right now you're not allowed to pay directly from school to player. So where do you kind of go about that? Michael, I guess I'm kind of, it really looks like the NCAA, maybe before the season, might come down with a ruling where, and we've talked about this, where you're basically able to become staff. You're basically going under salary. If you're getting that $20 million that we're talking about from this media rights deal and you're getting paid out from the school, I mean, there's really no way to work around that. You are now staff. You're now on salary. You're getting money directly from the school, which previously has been fully illegal. You cannot be paid directly school to player. There has to be some type of in-between, go-between. That is why we have collectives with, you know, Penn State has Happy Valley United. You know, I know we always say this and we always say there's a ton of moving parts, but this is a proposal by the NCAA. So it looks like, I mean, they are really ready to start to move forward on this with settling things in the past, but also stuff going on in the future. But I think this kind of opens Pandora's box, Jim, where you might settle for $2.7 billion for former players, but then there's more people coming up saying, hey, I want money. I want money. I got hurt here, et cetera. It's, you know, kind of a messy situation, which is what we always seem to say when we're talking NIL and NCAA.
It is messy. Let's hit on a couple of these things. Some people might ask, why would the NCAA and college sports agree to pay out this $2.7 billion? Wouldn't they be better off going to court? And the argument for not going to court is the 2.7 part. Now, the settlement is something that's negotiated. And one of the things that they argued for is to make that payment over a 10-year span. If it would go to court and they lose, what would happen is that number could be tripled. Okay, so, you know, $2.7 million could turn into $8 or $9 billion. And the difference then is they would have to pay it immediately, which could bankrupt the NCAA and maybe even the conferences, and they have those issues. So by doing a settlement, it could also, and I'm not even sure exactly how this works, Landon, but apparently there's other lawsuits going on that this would fall under that umbrella of, you know, this one settlement, which would help them avoid more time in court over the next couple of years.
Yeah. You know, it seems like the NCAA is trying their, they've always tried their best to pay out as little as possible and be in as little trouble as possible, but that has now caught up to them. I mean, them not being proactive in all of this the past 30 years, where they could have started to implement little things and you know, kind of help their athletes out a little bit. They said, no, you know, we are completely, we're laying this wall down and we are not changing our ways until I think they kind of knew one day it was going to happen. Well, today is now that day. And it, you know, like you said, it's interesting. They want to try to settle out because I think they know their record in court has not been good. And I think if they don't settle for this $2.7 billion, there is a very good possibility of them losing. And then, like you mentioned, it, you know, that basically being tripled and even more. I mean, I'm sure there's, if they lose, that would invite even more scrutiny and lawsuits to come about. But I think a real reality that comes out of this, when you start talking companies getting sued for tens of billions of dollars, is that company goes under and they're done. And I know we think of the NCAA as this kind of almighty, all-powerful corporation that can never go down. And there's a lot of weird stuff with the NCAA. I mean, they hold a nonprofit status. It's really odd how they work. And I'm not a big fan of the NCAA, but it looks like this could, like, the NCAA could go away, Jim. I mean, that's a real reality where we, you know, the SEC and Big Ten are essentially just their own, you know, not even conferences. They run themselves.
Actually, Landon, I think that process has already begun. Whether the NCAA will continue to exist or not, I'm not sure it matters. As you said, the conferences, specifically the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference, they're the ones who now have the leverage. They have the power, mostly because they've got the TV contracts, which means they have the TV money. We're going to pick up this conversation as soon as we get back after this break.
We've had such a great response to our F45 training and state college promotion over the last couple weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon. I'm Jim.
Yep. Okay. I appreciate it.
This is quarter number 3. You know, though, Landon, that's with our other show. So I think I might just flex my muscles. Yeah.
You got to keep this one, Jim. You got to keep Jim first on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Yeah, this is Jim and Landon. All right, that's the way we're gonna go. You get the top billing on the next show. All right, let's keep going, Landon. We are talking about the NCAA's potential settlement that's going on, and this settlement is coming quick, Landon. It could be like this week, and the basics of it are $2.7 billion to be paid over 10 years to former collegiate athletes who did not get the opportunity for name, image, and likeness, and the revenue with that. And the NCAA, they're coming out, they're talking about actually paying money to the current players and capping it at $20 million a year. Now, what's interesting is that $20 million is not a mandate. However, it's probably what, at least for big-time sports, big-time schools, they want to attract the best student athletes they possibly can. So if you're going to compete, if you're going to be in the Southeast Conference, you're going to be in the Big Ten, if you want to compete, you're probably putting out that maximum $20
million. Yeah, well, I mean, I think the NCAA they're basically saying, hey, if you're bringing the most attention to us, you deserve the most money, which finally the NCAA making a little bit of sense here. My question that I kind of want to talk about is, how does this look as far as within programs? $20 million. What, I mean, with Title IX and all that stuff, what goes to football? What goes to, do teams have to divide this up evenly? As far as, you know, does basketball see a cut? Does men's volleyball see a cut? I mean, there's like a lot of stuff that you have to be fair with because of Title IX and other rules. Now, if NCAA does go out the window, I don't know, do some of those rules go out the window as well? I mean, I just feel like we're in such a gray area right now where I do think a lot of things, by the time college football kicks off in late August, early September, I think we will have a lot of these questions answered. And I think the NCAA and some of these other, and SEC, Big Ten, are going to really figure some things out this summer. But I think we're going to see a lot of moving parts the rest of this summer. And I don't think it's going to be too dull of a summer, Jim. I think we're going to have a lot to talk about from a standpoint of what college football and how unique it's going to look compared to even just last season.
It has to. There has to be these changes. And some of these things are open. And what's interesting, Landon, I've been reading up on this, and so many of the answers are dependent on who you talk to and who they represent and what is in their best interest. You brought up Title IX. Now, the wording of Title IX, when it first came out, name, image, likeness, or money was not part of the conversation. Where it, the end result of it was that you needed as many scholarships to women athletes as men. Now, that already created a little bit of a problem in that there were programs who said, look, we can't afford all of this. And instead of getting more women athletes to match the number of men athletes, what they ended up doing was just reducing some men's sports at different schools. So, you know, the theory was, oh, more women will be represented on the athletic field. Now, in the entire scheme of things, it's probably worked well. There are more female athletes, collegiate athletes. Their sports are getting more attention. And I think most of us could agree that that's a good thing. Now, when this compensation question comes up, I read an article where they quoted a lawyer who said, oh, this will definitely mean female athletes have to be paid as much as the men. Well, it's funny why he interpreted it that way. It might be because he's a Title IX lawyer. That's what he does, Landon. So I wonder why he feels that way.
Yeah, a little bit of bias there. Another interesting point to bring up is, especially more for Big Ten schools, Penn State has 31 athletic programs, I believe. You look down at Alabama and Georgia, they sit around 15, 14. They have about half the college sports programs that we have. I mean, even at Penn, I mean, rugby at Penn State not a club team. I'm sorry. What's the word I'm looking for? Actually, you know, a university entity. They are an official. I mean, some of those teams are going to go out the window. I just think that's the reality. I think you're going to see some university teams cut back in rugby and maybe some like tennis, that type of stuff, swimming maybe. I mean, who knows? That you could start to see Penn State and other Big Ten schools cut some of these. Now the thing is with that, if you make men's volleyball or if you make women's volleyball a club sport and it's no longer, you know, officially recognized under the NCAA or under Penn State as an actual sports team, you have to do the same thing for the other. So if you do it for men's volleyball, you have to do it for women's, et cetera. You can't just get rid of one because of, you know, Title IX rules and stuff like that. So there, like I said, there's a lot of moving pieces in this, and it's going to be interesting to see how Penn State and other Big Ten schools navigate this with this revenue sharing, with all these new rules coming about, Jim.
Well, that's what they're going to have to clarify, or the unintended consequences are going to be like you discussed, where the only way to deal with this is dropping sports. And that same lawyer who talked to the Title IX, he said you can't use the revenue stream of this particular sport to make a determination. In other words, football, which brings in all this money, you can't differentiate how much you pay a football player to a women's lacrosse, yeah, where it's not a revenue sport. And the problem with that is there's always that decision. If you're going to talk about this like a business, there's always an option for people who own businesses. If it doesn't make money, you can close the doors, Landon.
Yeah, and Jim, when we're talking about this, and you know, this is all about who makes the most money, who is bringing in the eyeballs, the TV deals, all that stuff. And the more and more we talk about it, if the NCAA is going to handicap these schools and say, hey, you need to this, you know, whatever, the $20 million cap we put on Penn State football, you don't get to use all of that. You need to send over half of it to other sports teams or even more if you want to be fully even. Why be in the NCAA? Why do it anymore? If I'm the Big Ten, if I'm the SEC schools, I'm saying this doesn't benefit us at all. This is, you know, essentially hurting our program. Why be a part of it? And I think we're kind of at the point where it's like you don't really need the NCAA's approval to do anything anymore. So I'm not exactly sure what these conversations are behind closed doors, but I would imagine the Big Ten, the SEC are saying, hey, we need to start truly thinking about, and I, you know, we said that there already have been a lot of talks about this, but essentially seceding from the NCAA, it doesn't benefit anybody anymore. And you know, we've seen with Tennessee, we've seen with Florida State, so basically them getting in trouble and then the NCAA losing in court in those states, and the court saying, hey, you're not punishing these people. They didn't actually violate any rules. And it's kind of looking like, hey, what jurisdiction does the NCAA actually have? So I, you know, once again, I think this is something where it makes the most sense from a money standpoint for these conferences to leave the NCAA.
Well, Landon, I think it should be pointed out also that the Big Ten and Southeast Conference are the big boys. They're the decision makers now because they're the ones who have the television contracts, which means they have the money. The golden rule, those with the gold are the ones that rule. So I think what has to happen, and you pointed out this discrepancy where Big Ten schools might have more sports than in the Southeast Conference, you can't have Alabama being able to say, hey, we're going to take that $20 million and put it all into the football team, where Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan could only put in $10 million because they have to reserve dollars elsewhere. Now, I do think, though, those conferences where they probably want to be part of this, Landon, is they would like to see some kind of cap on the amount of money that goes out. And even schools at, you know, the Alabama, Penn State, Ohio State level, they don't want to put out $100 million to the players. I mean, there's a limit to what they could do. And sometimes when we say player, we're talking, you know, football first and foremost. But I think there has to be a way to say, you know, an equal footing. So the universities could give X dollars to football players. That's the limit, and it's the same for all the schools, or else the end result's going to be just dropping enough sports so I can pay football enough to compete, right?
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Jim. And then the other kind of piece that I'm interested in is when this revenue sharing occurs and when athletes start to become paid by the university directly, how is NIL, you know, affected directly? I think NIL looks different now. I don't think you need to rely on getting your guys as many deals if they're on a salary where, you know, you're able to take from certain funds, whether that's revenue sharing or whether that's, you know, university funds that previously you didn't have the ability to pay athletes out of those type of funds. And now because you are, that has not been ruled yet, but near future where universities can pay athletes. Once that happens, you know, what happens to NIL? What does that look like? Is it the same? Is NIL really only a big thing for the big name guys? Because, I mean, that's kind of how it is in the NFL, where if you're a lower level guy, that's understood. You're not getting those big time advertisement deals. You're not going on with Gillette or doing these commercials with State Farm like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. So, I mean, I don't know. It's interesting, and it's, once again, like I said, it's gonna be fun to watch, and I'm sure there's some fans that are tired of hearing about it. They're saying, "Hey, let's just play ball." But unfortunately, these types of conversations are reality now, and they are going to shape how college football and the landscape of college football looks for the next 20, 30 years.
It definitely will. We've got more to talk about, and I want to talk about, are they going to be employees or not? We're going to do that after this break.
We've had such a great response to our F45 training and state college promotion over the last couple weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon. I'm Jim. This is quarter number four, Landon, of our show, where we're talking about this potential settlement with the NCAA. We talked about the amount of money, which is a lot, but I think the thing that's most affecting what's going to go on in the future is this $20 million that they're talking about revenue sharing for the student athletes and where it goes. And you've brought up the point that, hey, if this payment's going directly to the players, their employees, they're getting paid, and that probably means collective bargaining. The interesting thing that I read is not necessarily that they might somehow try to get this money to the players without going through collective bargaining. But again, surprise, surprise, a representative of a group that wants to represent the players says, oh, hold on, there's no way you could do this without collective bargaining.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's interesting because there are a lot of those people around that are basically trying to really help out the athletes. I remember back in 2021, we actually had someone come in and talk to us within the program and basically say, hey, guys, this is coming about. And there's a lot of people that are actually trying, not all, when you start talking about, sharing these TV rights and these TV deals with the players, and these universities, you kind of open up basically a CBA, which is, you know, in the NFL, they have the NFLPA, where it is made up of the NFL players. They have, you know, elected leader who is a current player, and they make a lot of decisions for themselves. They go to the NFL and say, hey, we feel we deserve X, Y, Z, you know, we're being wronged here, et cetera. And it basically allows, essentially some type of union where they're able to come and voice their complaints and get some fairness. So saying all that to say, that is in all college. I mean, excuse me, that is in all pro sports. Every pro sports team has kind of a NFLPA. There's same thing in the NBA. So I think we're kind of headed towards that with college football, where we are going to see athletes start to band together and say, hey, we need to create something, a college football player association, where we're able to go to the NCAA and make demands. We want this amount on TV rights deals. We want to be protected. We want whatever it is, insurance, all that type of stuff. So I think when you start to open up, like I said, Pandora's box with allowing, you know, revenue sharing and that types of things, well, now you open the door to the athletes basically creating their own players association. And then that leads to NCAA having, once again, even less authority over these guys. So I'm also curious how that's going to look, because I can promise you there are a lot of big time lawyers out there basically trying to help these athletes push them in the direction of forming a player association within college football.
And some of them, yes, are helpful, Landon, but I also think some of them, they're looking out for themselves. And as I said, when you talk to those reps, those who represent one of these potential players groups, it's like, oh yes, this has to be the way to do it. But I think there are actually ways where that helps both sides. So whenever you see a salary cap in professional sports, that only happens because the players agree to it. That's because the argument is that, you know what, for the well-being of everybody, to have a salary cap so there's more balance in the sport. Now, for example, here, is there a situation where, you know, an Alabama, a Texas A&M, a Georgia, if that number is unlimited, that $20 million, hey, what do we care? We'll throw $100 million if we have the alumni groups, the donors who will put out that much money, and we could dominate the sport. But you hope that the Players Association will realize that, hey, wait a minute, there's consequences to this that might mean reduction in, you know, some of the other sports. Or the one that always got me was at Dartmouth, from the Ivy League, voted to unionize their players. And my argument was, it's the Ivy League. They have lots of money elsewhere. Sports is at a loss at every Ivy League school. They're all losing money. If I were the president of any of the Ivy League schools, I'd just say, you know what, guys? We don't need to deal with this. That's it. No more sports in the Ivy League. And guess what? That would have zero effect on those schools, Landon.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. A pretty harsh thought from Jim over there. He's taking names.
Salty Jim. Don't mess with me.
Jim, I will say, I don't think I've told this on air real quick. I don't want to lose my thought. But I saw someone at the Blue Course, a young lady that watches our show, and she said that she loves Salty Jim. So, we're not in season, so we don't have too much for you to be salty about. But I might need to, even especially on this other show that we're doing, I'm going to make sure I bring out Salty Jim for everybody to get a taste of. But look, you mentioned salary caps, and that is something that's interesting. Because like you mentioned, there are schools, and we've seen this with NIL, that just have the ability to get more money than other schools. Similar in the NFL, if there wasn't a salary cap, hey, a team like the Houston Texans, that's a lot newer versus someone like Jerry Jones and the Cowboys that have basically an unlimited revenue stream. If there wasn't a salary cap, you'd find certain teams that have richer owners just being among the top pack of the league, and that's how it would be. So I do think the NCAA wants to avoid that, because then you just start to say, hey, these slowly over time, really these SEC schools and a couple Big Ten schools would just dominate, and there would be really no other schools competing. And we talked about this in the NIL era. Since the NIL era started, you look back from 2014 to 2021, pre-NIL era, but once the college football, the new, you know, not new now, but what we were used to with the 14 playoff, there really wasn't too much difference in the teams. I mean, it was always Alabama. Then you start to see Clemson, and then it was Georgia. And, you know, Ohio State was always in the mix, Notre Dame a little bit here. But then now you see Washington's in the mix. Texas is in the mix. There's all these teams you don't normally expect. So I guess it is interesting when you think of the standpoint, when it is everybody was playing at an even playing field before NIL, and we kind of saw the same teams staying at the top. Well, you introduce NIL now, and now you see a lot of fluctuation where random teams are popping up in the college football playoffs that you simply would not expect, like a TCU. I mean, that's just not – you're not expecting that type of thing. And is that good for the sport? So I don't know. So that's where I'm kind of not weary. I do think we need to have a salary cap, but it's kind of interesting because with NIL, there is no salary cap. We're kind of sitting at a non-salary cap spot. You know, does it invite more diversity as far as teams, you know, really competing in the college football playoffs without a salary cap?
Well, I think we all got to understand, too, just if the schools are going to compensate the players, and that could happen in different ways. You know, they could say, we're buying the player's NIL rights from him. So, gee, Drew Aller, we're buying your rights and we're going to put your picture on the tickets and so on. But, or it could be the money will go to the players and the player still maintains his NIL authority, his own NIL rights. So you could still make an unlimited amount of money through NIL. Now, what will happen then is I think there will be less NIL happening the way it is now, where, here, kid, I'm giving you X dollars because I want you to stay at Penn State, because, look, you're already being compensated. Now, the difference is, if you're a Heisman Trophy winner, if you're Nick Singleton or Drew Aller, your name, image, likeness is truly worth something, and businesses will pay you to represent them. So that's still out there and still possible, even if the schools are paying. And to your point about, and it's one that I've made, where everyone said, oh, is the sky falling with NIL and we're going to lose parity? My answer to that always is, what parity? It wasn't happening. But I think what you have here too now is the schools, can they afford to play in this game? And some schools may have to make decisions. I mentioned the Ivy League. And if it's, you know, it's not going to be required with this settlement that schools pay $20 million to the athletes. So they could opt out. And I suspect the Ivy League may be a group that will opt out because their athletic departments, you know, if they're self, you know, stand on their own, they can't do that if they're putting $20 million in the players' hands.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be interesting to see how these schools, NCAA, navigate it. Like we talked about, I mean, there's Title IX stuff. There is the possibility of leaving the NCAA, especially with the Big Ten and the SEC. And like we talked about, they hold all the money in their hands. They have the media rights deals. They have those huge TV contracts that we just saw them ink. And, you know, and then not even to mention, I'm curious how the college football playoff is going to look. Cause I mean, that is, they're talking, and we talked about this previously a couple months ago, where they were talking huge numbers, billions of dollars for the specifically just the playoffs. And there is now a lot more playoff games, but you know, who handles that? If the NCAA goes away, what does that look like? I just think there is so many moving logistics.
Well, something that's interesting is the college football playoffs are not under the NCAA.
Right.
The basketball tournament is. And there's also like, where will this money come from? Does it come out of the basketball tournament pocket? Because that's what goes to the NCAA versus the college football playoffs. Now, I think these major conferences, the Southeast Conference, the Big Ten, they have to be part of any of this settlement. But it's another one of those little details, Landon, that has to be worked out. And with all of this said, I don't think the sky is falling. I think we're still going to have college football. I don't think NIL ruined it. I don't think the portal ruined it. I don't think this will ruin it, Landon. I'll give you the last say.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. College football is here to stay. It is going to continue to take shape in ways that we have never seen, though, and guys are going to continue to get paid more and more. So it is going to be interesting to see how this summer shakes out. It's going to be an interesting one. Definitely follow along here on the Keystone Kickoff Show because you know we are going to be covering it. We will keep you up to date. So when you're at the tailgate, you're able to spew off all this NIL, you know, just have a good time, and we will continue to keep you updated. It's going to be interesting.
Well, I heard Landon say, all right, that is it for our show. Thank you all for joining us. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
We've had such a great response to our F45 Training and State College promotion over the last couple weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. This is still running through May 21st. For all Keystone Sports Network listeners, you're able to try out F45 Training in State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training in a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.